This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about Rutherford County Fire and Rescue, and with us today is Fire Chief Larry Farley. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing good. Beautiful weather out there this morning, but this is not what your guys saw whenever they headed to East Tennessee and the Carolinas recently.
Yeah, it was pretty warm up there, I think, and our guys were dispatched out there along with four teams from Murfreesboro and Laverne. And they were sent up there apparently to try to recover people who were lost or in the floods or weren't able to get out.
Would you have ever expected floods like what we saw in East Tennessee to actually come to East Tennessee?
No, I wouldn't. But I think listening to most of the news broadcasts, a lot of it was because there was so much mountains up there. I think they had 15 inches of rain. Of course, all that drains downhill and it just flooded a lot of the low-lying areas.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I think they had some mudslides in some areas. I mean, it was just crazy.
It was total disaster up there. Things were just washed away, and you know, there were several volunteer fire departments up there that was just destroyed. I had seen a film on social media of one of the 3,000 gallon tankers that was one of the volunteer fire departments was just floating down there. Down the river and all of a sudden just sank. It devastated, I know, at least three volunteer fire departments, and they were asking for any kind of donations of equipment, turnout gear, anything that some of the fire departments could provide, even if it was out of date.
I mean, you're talking about emergency workers from literally all over the country came there to help out.
Yes, what they do is they send in we have a very highly trained officers, chiefs, and things from other departments that go through this incident management training. And of course, they go in there and set up. Like Carter County, where they set up, is a very small community, probably 100 square miles, 16,000 people, very small. And they had one EMA director, so they pretty much just go in and set up shop and just control everything as far as the searches and the cleanup and everything. And it's called an incident management team. And then they go in, John Engel, one of our shift commanders at Rutherford County, went up there and deployed and was part of that. And it's planning, logistics, what they're going to do the next 24 hours. Everything's documented and everything for FEMA. Then we had four of our people, five from Murfreesboro and four from Laverne, went up there as a strike team. And what they did, they put them out in the field to search for human remains and go through the debris. And it some of the pictures they sent back was just unbelievable.
When they went up there, did they take a lot of equipment with them? Did they drive a fire truck up there? What did they do?
They took these side-by-sides. You know, these land
the UTVs.
Vehicles, UTVs, and some of them used those to make it through the woods and stuff. But our guys from Rutherford County were out there in helmets and just going through debris, piles of stuff, of pipe, and just everything you could imagine, sifting through all this stuff just to see if they could find some people.
And it was insane. I mean, the pictures I've seen, the videos I've seen, you're talking about debris stacked 10 feet tall in some areas.
Yeah, there was I think it was in Carter County, I'm not sure, but there was a plant that they realized that the dam was fixing to break. And by the time they let all those people out of the plant, went out in the parking lot, the dam broke and just swept every one of them away. It can be challenging mentally for people to go down there and deal with that. You know, so it's there's the thing of going down there and helping people and the good feeling you get from that. But also the things they see and experience can be trying sometimes.
You had this company literally let out all the workers leave the building itself. The dam breaks. And those workers were literally standing out there when that water came?
Yes. And from what I understand, a lot of them tried to hold on to the vehicle stuff, but it just pretty much swept them away. That was one of the areas that we were in that they were trying to help out.
So you've got guys who go down there, and half the time, I'm sure they don't even realize they're stumbling upon human remains because, I mean, there's so much chaos there, debris and parts of buildings, cars, even... I saw where some cemeteries' coffins washed up. I mean, there's just so much to look through.
It's total devastation. I can't imagine what those people are living through and the emotions that they're going through and any hope for tomorrow. But I know there's a lot of people, a lot of Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse. A lot of people like that are down there and offering food and help and money. And of course, I think FEMA was down there for a little while, but I think whenever the Hurricane Milton was coming through Florida, I think they sent a lot of them down there to prepare for that.
When a disaster like this occurs, and this is one of those things that thankfully rarely happens, but when things like this occur, the firemen who were here from Rutherford County, when they went there, they didn't know what to expect. And I'm sure the majority of them, if not all, they've never seen a disaster at this level where there's this many fatalities.
Yeah, but our guys, they're resilient, and they felt like they were doing something important, which they were. And, you know, we sent them down there for 3 or 4 days, and then they talk about, you know, sending replacements for them. And so I was sent out requesting who anybody would want to respond with the next shift. And a lot of the guys that were down there sent me a message, hey, we'll stay down here if you want us to. I think our team recovered 3 or 4 bodies.
Were they able to come across anybody who was still alive, maybe, you know, just hadn't been found yet and clinging to life even?
Our guys didn't know.
And the families that somebody's got to go back and say, hey, look, we found, you know, your father, your mother.
It's difficult, but they said a lot of the people up there would come up to them and thank them for being there, thank them for, you know, this was really grateful and thankful for what they were doing, what they were trying to achieve.
How big of an area did the fire crews from Rutherford County have to cover on foot in order to search for people?
Well, I think I might have said this a while ago. I think the one of the areas was 100, the county it was in was like a 100 square miles, and I think it was 16,000 people. So it's this was a very small community that they were working in. And of course, we were just right there on the Tennessee-North Carolina line.
Are all these areas heavily wooded and, you know, just very hilly and mountainous regions?
Well, basically, the pictures I've seen was just pretty much where the rivers had come in, expanded, and just washed everything away from it. And this debris that had gotten caught up. I seen a lot of yellow piping wrapped up. And it just takes everything in its path and just moves it down the river. And it's just it's a mess trying to sift through that. And a lot of times the piles were big as a house that they were trying to sift through and dig to see if they could recover anybody.
Have you heard, because, you know, you hear different news stories, you don't really know what to believe during that whole first week of everything because there's just so much happening. But have you heard where it flooded? Was that within a 100-year floodplain? Was that within an area that's prone to flooding, or was this way out of the banks?
I think it was way out of the banks. I think it was just so much unprecedented rainfall that, of course, you know, it's up in the hills. When it starts coming down off them hills, it just floods off in the lower section. It just starts flooding everything out there.
We heard lots of reports about animals on the loose. I mean, everything from livestock to household dogs and cats and whatnot. But was that an issue that they faced when they were there? Because those who did have livestock, they literally cut the fences and just let their livestock out because there was nothing they could do.
I don't recall them even mentioning it, dealing with a lot of wildlife or livestock. So I don't think that was an issue for our guys.
Where do they stay when they go down there?
They had a school set up at a gymnasium, and they pretty much put the guys that were there on cots, and just they went in and slept there and showered there and were able to get a hot meal. But there's a lot of people down there, organizations that come in beside the Red Cross and stuff that were providing food and shelter and just the daily items people need.
Walk us back a little bit to how everything unfolded to where you got the call to say, hey, you know, we really need some help here. Can you send anybody to East Tennessee or to North Carolina to help out?
Well, there's an organization set up through Tennessee. It's the Tennessee Fire Chiefs Association. And once the word comes in from FEMA, it goes to the state level. And then I start receiving texts on that Sunday requesting personnel to respond. And it comes through the Chiefs Association. And they sent out texts to the chiefs wanting to know, hey, we need so many people to do this, do that. Can you send anybody? And then we start talking to our people, see if anybody wants to volunteer. Once we get those volunteers, we respond back, hey, I've got 4 can go do this, or I've got 5 who can do this. Most of the time what we do in order to help alleviate people missing shift at our stations, Murfreesboro and Laverne, we team up with them. And like I said a while ago, we'll send 4, Laverne sends 4, I think Murfreesboro sent 5, and they go as a strike team.
does the federal government come in and end up paying for those workers to be there so they are paid for their time?
Yes, Rutherford County will be compensated for that. And how that works is by the time they go through the process of putting all the paperwork together and what all who was down there and how much they make per hour, the federal government will reimburse us on that. But it takes about a year.
Are they working, you know, 12-hour shifts while they're there? How do they go about deciding, all right, well, you need to work for 10 hours and then take a break, get some rest?
Well, the incident management teams work in 12-hour shifts. And I think most of what our people were doing were 12-hour shifts, basically just from sun up to sundown. And then, of course, they would have meals brought to them. And they had, at the headquarters, they had food set up where they could eat and shower and sleep. But it's constant. I mean, there's not a whole lot of downtime. You're constantly involved in doing something.
Incidents like this, will they change the life of those firemen, maybe even for the good, being a part of helping out?
Yes, I see our guys come back very pumped up and proud, feeling that they've done well to help that community to try to, you know, get things cleaned up and get back on their feet. But I think their main objective, their job, was to go out there and recover people who were swept away or washed away, trying to account for everybody who was missing.
With us this morning, Larry Farley, Fire Chief for the Rutherford County Fire Rescue Department. Is there any fear of something like that happening in Rutherford County, or is there a fear of something this size happening in Rutherford County, some type of natural disaster? And if so, how often is that discussed or planned out what to do?
Well, I think I don't think Rutherford County has a lot of low-lying areas. There are places, and one of the things that we are trained to do is swift water rescue. And, of course, we have heavy rains here. There are certain places in Rutherford County that flood. Then, of course, we try to shut those roads down, but people from time to time will drive through them. We had a major flood out on Central Valley Road here a while back, and a man and his daughter were going to church, and they drove through the water, and they become submerged. And before they went up on water, they called 911, and our guys responded there. And by the time they got on the scene, they didn't have time to put on their wet gear. They just jumped in and dove in and swam out there to them. By that time, the car sank, and they were able to knock the back glass out of the car. And when they did, of course, the pressure just shot that man, that little girl, to the top of water. And they grabbed them and brought them back to the truck, got them out of the water.
So they lived.
Yeah. And they were gracious enough to come up to the county commission and before the full commission and recognize those guys and think of what they did.
How often do people who are rescued or are saved by your crew, how often do they come to you later and say, you know, hey, you saved my life, you saved my daughter's life or son's life?
Almost every time. People are really grateful, and people they don't realize the danger they're putting themselves in by going through high water, and just like an inch of water moving can move a whole automobile down the stream. So it's you know, we put up signs and we try to educate people about the flooding water, not to drive through it, and we've even put up blockades and they'll drive right by them and just, you know, go through it. So there are certain areas in Rutherford County that we know is an issue. So when we have a heavy rain, we try to work with law enforcement and put up barricades, keep those people out. But eventually some people think that they can get through there and they get in trouble.
Water's got to be one of the most deadly, most ferocious things that Mother Nature has to throw at you.
You think about an inch of water moving a car down the river or moving it off the bridge, and then you think of water up in East Tennessee that's coming at you 40, 50 foot deep. And you've seen I think everybody's seen on the news the water that's sweeping down through the creeks and stuff, and how high they are and how deep they are. So water is a major force.
You know, for anybody who may be new to Rutherford County or even Middle Tennessee, you look at the Stones River, looks like a very calm, you know, very shallow river. But when it floods, it does get pretty fast, pretty dangerous, and pretty quick.
Yeah, most of our rivers, when it comes heavy rain, will run very rapid. Stones River runs under the Las Casas Bridge. You got Bradley Creek. You got so many creeks in Rutherford County that you definitely don't want to get off in there when the water is high and rapid.
Are there certain areas of the river here in Rutherford County that seem to have been more dangerous than others over the years where there's more rescues done?
We do a lot of rescues out at the boat docks out at Mona. People get out there and get in trouble. Of course, we cover the entire county. Weekly Lane out Fate Sanders is in the county, so we respond out there from time to time. Boat accidents and We had a ski boat, or we call it a Sea-Doo, and a ski boat collide out there one day and amputated some people's legs. And of course, the deputies got there quick enough and were able to put tourniquets on their legs, keep them bleeding out. But we responded to that and helped get them out of the water and get them transported through EMS.
There has been so much happen over the years on Percy Priest Lake. I mean, you've had small single-engine airplanes crash out there. You've had small jet airplanes crash in the lake. And then you have tons of boating accidents over the years.
Yeah, well, the jet that went up and went down was a big event. And we were out there for several weeks doing recovery. And that was a massive team of fire, EMS, and the state forestry, and the wildlife resources, and everybody out there on that event.
Percy Priest is not known for being a deep lake. So when something like that happens, are parts of that airplane embedded in the lake bottom for years to come?
There wasn't much left of it.
I wasn't out there, obviously. I didn't see it happen, but I know folks who were out on the lake or near the lake whenever that occurred. And, you know, that's got to be scary, you know, not just for obviously those who passed away in that, but, you know, just being out there seeing a plane crash right next to where you are.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody actually seen it hit the water, but a lot of them seen it as it was going down and reported that. But it was probably one of the biggest exercises we've been involved in.
As Rutherford County has grown over the years, have you seen a huge increase in accidents, be it, you know, car accidents to even boating accidents? But have you seen a big increase?
Yes, very much so. Back in 2010, when the Rutherford County Fire Rescue Department was created, I think that year we probably ran 1,300 calls. 1,306, I think, was the exact number. Last year, we ran over 9,000 calls. So we've gone from 2010 to one station. We've gone to six stations right now, and in 97 employees. We first started out with one station, which is Barfield, and had 24/7 coverage out there. It was 12 employees. And then we went from that to six full-time stations, and we're building the seventh one now out in Christiana in Plainview. So that'll help us cover. We also cover the interstate. So that helps us have a quick response out to the Ups Mill area, and because we cover all the way from where Laverne takes over, and then we don't cover where the city of Murfreesboro is in city, but we cover from 840 to Laverne, and then we cover from Joby Jackson all the way out to Manchester or Coffee Can line.
That's a long way.
It's a long way out there, and it takes us a long time to get out. It takes from Barfield, it takes us 20 minutes to get out there. So with Plainview on the rise, and it put us at their Epps Mill ramp, and we can get there fairly quickly.
And I'm sure there's good things about having a fairly young fire department and some bad things too. I mean, there's a learning curve there, as well as trying to figure out how to get the funding you need in order to grow the department.
Well, that's one of the issues that the county faces. You know, we all fire departments are covered by property taxes in the city and sales tax and such as that, but we're funded by situs tax. And what that is a sales tax out in the county. So that we've been fortunate to grow like we have and have the equipment we have. We've got great support from our county commission. All the last three mayors that were involved, Mayor Burgess and Mayor Ketron and Mayor Carr, have been big supporters of the fire department. And so with the county commission and the former mayors and the mayor we have now with support, it's amazing how fast we've grown. And really, sometimes it's a little too fast because you have a lot of young people, a lot of young officers, but our guys rise to the occasion.
Now, when you look across the county, are there some areas that still need a fire station?
Yeah, there. You know, we have out in Leanna, we have a station that has a truck in it, but the thing of volunteers is pretty much dissipated. We've got two volunteer fire departments remaining, which is Almaville and Christiana, but it's so hard to get people to volunteer. I have, because of what we create here in Rutherford County, I have a lot of counties reach out to me. I had Chattanooga, Hamilton County come and meet with me, and Winchester, Sevier County, a lot of Lincoln County, Murray County come and talk to us about how did you do what you did? How did you set up the county fire department? Because that's something unusual. But it's happening all across the state because people just aren't volunteering anymore. They don't want to volunteer.
Before Rutherford County had this full-time fire department, rarely did you hear about any county in Tennessee. I don't know of any county that had a full-time fire department. Was there another county, or were we the first to actually have our own fire department?
The only one that I'm aware of that had one before we started was Shelby County. And of course, they have a Memphis, and they had a paid department. They run ambulances and everything out of there. Of course, they're set up through property taxes and stuff, how they build and stuff. But as far as just a normal size county, Rutherford County was one of the first. I might as well say the second after Shelby County. So we kind of, what we did was, we get a lot of inquiries and questions about, how did you do that? How do you fund it? What issues did you face? What were the things good that you did? What was the bad things you did? And really, it's kind of strange that you, when you start talking about this, you realize, or I did, that I had more information than I realized I had, because I've been through so much to do that. But like I say, with the support of our county officials and our mayors and our commissioners, it's really grown fast.
So whose idea was it originally to say, hey, we need to have our own fire department that serves specifically Rutherford County?
Well, back in probably 2009, I had a meeting with Mike Nunley, our former EMS director, and Chris Clark, who was the supervisor over SORT, and then Mayor Burgess. And we were sitting there. We had an issue with rescue. Rough County Rescue Squad was doing all the extrications in the county. What they got were, you know, the requirement requires you have at least two guys on the truck. Well, a lot of times they only had one person, and it would overwhelm at one person. So it became an issue that we wanted to address. And during the conversation, it was decided between all four of us that we need to create a county fire department. And so that's kind of how it got started. So Mayor Burgess told us to create a team of four or five people and come up with a plan, SOPs, you know, how we're going to respond, what we're going to do, and just pretty much set it up on paper and then bring it back to him. And we started, it was created, like say, 2010. And then we built the Barfield station, and it was up in 2012. And we started running out of that station, and it was all volunteer at the time. But we had a lot of people that would spend the night, and of course we were running rescue out in the county and running fire calls. We were able to convince the commission to give us 12 people. Matter of fact, I think it was a grant. We got a grant. It was a FEMA grant to pay the salaries for those people for 2 years and 3 years if they were a veteran. We got the funding for that, and we did it for 2 years. Of course, it just kind of took off from there. And I think as we continued on, the need was become more dire, because the volunteers do a great job when they're there, but at daytime there was just really no coverage in the daytime.
The general public, they hear terms like paramedic, EMT, first responders. There's all these different terms that folks use, and I don't know that the general public understands what each role actually does, but when it comes to actually providing medical aid, what does Rutherford County offer from the fire department when they respond to an accident scene?
When we first started out, my main focus was being efficient on fire and rescue. In other words, being very efficient on fighting fire and cutting people out of vehicles that were entrapped. Once we feel like we accomplished that, we started moving on, taking on more special operations things. And that was our biggest focus at the end. But the fire service started providing medical care. Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, even Rutherford County, we have paramedics and AMT, which is advanced EMT, and then EMTs who provide medical care. And we respond with ambulances on major calls. What that provides, if there's a motor vehicle accident, with multiple patients, you have two people on ambulance. Well, once we get on that scene, if there's multiple patients, then everybody's got hands on. Everybody's providing medical treatment to those patients, and then trying to get them bandaged up, packaged up, and transported. So it provides extra hands to EMS. EMS, they're running 4,000 calls a month here in Rutherford County. The population and the response has exploded. We'll run over 9,000 calls this year, just us. So we run a lot of medical calls, and basically just as extra extended hand of what EMS does in the county.
And Rutherford County, it is 619 or so square miles. I mean, it's a big county.
626 square miles. We cover 490 of it.
Wow. Land-wise, I would guess we're one of the larger counties in the state.
Yes, sir, I think. And I think population is close to, what, 400,000?
Yeah.
Very close.
according to a study done by UT, I guess it was last year, year before, but I think it's by year 2040 or something like that, our population is going to, you know, soar over to 500,000 plus residents. And then a few years after that, we're going to be at 700,000 residents.
I'm not sure if I'll be around at that time, but it's growing fast. And I think everybody gets frustrated at all the traffic in town. When I leave, my office is out in Barfield, and I come down Church Street every morning. Of course, going outbound is not bad, but it's bumper to bumper, three lanes backed up as far as you can, all the way back to Veterans, trying to get into town. So it's coming from every direction. It's amazing to me, though, when school's out, the traffic is not bad at all in the morning. But when school's in, you have to leave 30 minutes, 45 minutes early to get anywhere in this town.
Whenever kids are out of school, be it college or all the high schools are out of school, can you see a significant drop in actual auto accidents?
No, not really. I mean, you know, here lately, we've had a lot of entrapments, you know, vehicles that's crashed and have entrapments. And then it seems like sometimes you go in for a couple of days, you won't have an NVA at all. But then it seems like when you have one, you'll have four or five that day.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how these things play out.
It seems like, and I know the Sheriff's Department has talked about this, they have seen an increase of auto accidents on Highway 231. I think Highway 96 was another one where they've seen an increase. But whenever, like the Sheriff's Department, whenever they report an increase in accidents, do you actually notice that big of an increase in auto accidents?
I think that's one of the biggest responses that's went up in this county is the MBAs. And when you think about back in the day when you had SORT, who were doing extrications and providing that response in a rescue squad, you had two trucks responding. Now we have six different rescue trucks that are responding out in the county, actually seven counting our heavy rescue. So we cover a large area, and it's amazing just how much we've grown and able to overcome that.
Again, Fire Chief Larry Farley with us this morning. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back talking about fire and rescue. And we got more coming up in just a minute.
I am Charlotte Gardner. I've lived at Adams Place for 3 years. The friendliest place.
Was the decision to move difficult?
No, it was just a really good change. I never, ever regretted a day of moving here.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Fire Chief Larry Farley in studio with us this morning from the Rutherford County Fire and Rescue Department. So we were talking about how big of a county this is as far as land space goes, and how far you guys have to drive. Because you were saying earlier, you know, you may have to respond to an accident towards Laverne, then next thing you know, you could be out I-24 going towards Beech Grove.
One of our biggest responses is that we have a station in Walter Hill, and there's not a lot of traffic out there, but we have a lot of accidents on Council Pike, which is, we just pretty much have to hit 840, go into Wilson County to get on Council Pike. It's in Rutherford County, and that's probably one of the furthest points in the county. I guess you might call it Northwest, but here lately there's quite a bit of accidents in there. I think people traveling to Mount Juliet and Mount Juliet coming in this way, usually when we have them out there, it's either nothing to it or serious.
And Couchville Pike, confusing at times when part of it's in Mount Juliet, then part's in Rutherford County and part of it's in Smyrna. When somebody calls 911 to say, hey, there's an accident.
Allenville has a volunteer station out there, and one guy is really good about responding and being out there and kind of give us a heads up what's going on, or if it's nothing to it, he can kind of cancel us, keep it from driving our way out there. But it's a pretty good little trip. there's been a lot of instances out there, and it's just so far out. And I know it won't be in my lifetime, but we've done a major thing getting 7 stations, but there's such a big county that I don't know that we'll ever in my lifetime cover it where it needs to be covered. But it's amazing how far we have to travel. When we first started during the daytime, we tried to cover the entire county, and we were just running the wheels off our fire trucks.
Do you think it would benefit anybody if this area was a metro form of government? One department as far as fire protection goes?
I think it would be better funded because, you know, if it's metropolitan, you take all the taxes. And I know Nashville's such a big city, you wouldn't know it, but they have a lot of rural areas too that they cover with the extended part of that department. So, yeah, I think it probably would be. I don't know if it'll ever be metropolitan. I think they tried that one time in the past and it didn't fly because nobody wants to give up their piece of the pie, you might say.
I remember, I think it was in, well, within the last 20 years or so, it was brought up. And I know, I don't remember which mayor, you know, county, city, or where, but I do remember it being talked about.
Yeah, I do remember being talked about, but nothing's been said about it here lately.
I am curious, what are we going to do in the future as that population continues to grow? Because if we hit that 700,000 mark, I mean, that's a major population increase.
Well, and one of the things, too, that I get a lot of requests and information about how we did what we did. But there's a lot of counties now starting to create county fire departments. So I look for state legislature to come down the road to help alleviate and make it easier to fund those county fire departments. Because, you know, the way it's set up now, we can only use situs tax. We can't use property tax because the property tax collected by the county includes Laverne, Smyrna, and Murfreesboro. Well, you can't take that tax money and use it for a county fire department because Murfreesboro has a fire department. Smyrna has a fire department, and so does Laverne. So that's why we're not allowed to use property tax to fund the county fire department. So I do see, I don't know how they do it, but I do see the legislature coming down from the state in the years to come that's going to have to address that because the lack of volunteers. I think when Captain took office, volunteer fire departments, volunteers down 80%. And so, you know, there was a need that had to be filled there because Tennessee is so rural. A lot of volunteer fire departments can't survive. And so a lot of counties are having to hire, you know, 4 or 5 people just to respond during the daytime.
I know we only have like 2 minutes or so left, but currently at each fire hall that's operated by the county, is it just 2 or 3 fire trucks and an ambulance, or is it just 2 or 3 fire trucks?
We built Rockvale, Las Casas, Kittrell, and Walter Hill stations. Those are public health and safety buildings. Each one of those stations have fire and EMS both in it. There's 4 firefighters on every truck, and there's 2 medics on the ambulances. And then we have Barfield and the special operations building on Fortress that's just fire. And of course, there's several, I think 12 EMS stations out there. But one of the things that the county did by creating these public health and safety buildings, it put EMS and fire out in the county. So there's a lot better coverage with EMS and fire now.
And again, all the crews that did come from Rutherford County and go to East Tennessee and the Carolinas, they are all back. Have you got any word yet on if, you know, you're going to be called to assist in Florida?
I haven't heard anything. In the past, we have not. I know that because we were involved in East Tennessee and then North Carolina was fairly close. We were, but I think most of the time in Florida, it's such a occurrence that happens so much. You have these elite teams like out of Memphis and California and stuff that are funded through the federal government. Most of the time, those teams respond to Florida.
Again, Larry Farley with us this morning, Fire Chief of Rutherford County. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me this morning.